Hello and welcome.
Merry Christmas. We're so happy that you've come to the Christmas Eve service. I'm Pastor Ann, and this is our senior pastor, Dr. Jeffrey D. Hoy.
We're so
glad. Aren't you glad he's here tonight? Wow. I am very glad he's here.
And we're welcoming those by live stream that are joining us from many, many places. You look really great tonight.
Well, thanks.
You're sparkling.
How did that happen that your tie matches me perfectly?
I have a person who chooses these things. So, well, we are so blessed. What a wonderful evening, afternoon this is going to be. It's almost Christmas. We have children that are going to sing. We have animals that are going to come through. Lots and lots of fun things with our live nativity. So we want to get started, and we're starting.
There's lots of room up here. Look out here. Raise your hand if there are seats near you. There are people still coming in, and they don't have a seat.
If you can move in toward the center, that will be very helpful for people who are arriving late to have a seat.
Well, I'm so excited about this service because you see the beautiful children are singing. We have our live nativity processional. We have the student message. We have beautiful music by our music ministry that are coming up. And we have a wonderful message from Pastor Jeff. So we have a great opportunity. And then you notice on your chairs as you came in, those little candles that are behind you. We're saving those for our final song. And that's going to be very special for our candlelight service at the 4 o'clock. Oh, there's still a lot more people coming in. If you have room near you, beckon them in. Tell them to come on up. We've got more room. We want you to have a seat right up here. Right up here. We do want to give you a quick warning, though. During our live nativity processional, we have about 40 students and some live animals. So if you are sitting on the edge, please make sure to keep your hands, arms, and all other objects inside the vehicle. Have you heard that before? Yes, just make sure, because they're going to come this way, and then they're going to come up and down every aisle, so you will have a chance to see them all. It's going to be so much fun. All right, we do have some more seats up front. Up here, we have about 8 seats right here, and we have seats here on this side row. Anyone else that's coming in, head this way. If you have seats, hold your fingers up. If you have 1 or 2, help our friends find a place to sit today.
And we are ready to begin.
All right, boys and girls, I can't wait to hear you. Here we go.
Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie.
Great job, boys and girls. All right, parents or grandparents, if you have a child that's up here, we would like to ask you to please stand up or come and get them. They're coming back to sit with you for this family service. And we just want to make sure that they will find you. Parents are coming. And if you're coming in and you don't have a chair, there are chairs on the front two rows here that are available for you. Nice red chairs. Okay. Come all the way up. There's seats here.
Every creature of God, come bless his name. praise to our God. We are so thankful you're here. Will you stand as we continue and lift up joy to the world?
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
To our God. Amen. Joy to the world.
Please be seated. During this next beautiful song, What Child Is This? We were going to be having our live nativity processional. There are four scenes that the students will be presenting as they come up to the stage. They'll be coming down the side aisles, in the middle, up this aisle, and back down that way. And so we're so excited. Thank you, students, and thank you, live nativity leaders and the people outside, for all your hard work to make this happen today. And we'll be talking about these four scenes later in the student message. Are you ready? Okay. You know why we have you sit down? Because 1 year we did this, and at the end of the service, people were talking about it. How awesome, you have live animals in your service. And a lady said, there were live animals there? I couldn't see any live animals. And from then on, we decided sitting down was the best because you could all see instead of having to try to leer past and peek past a tall person. So are you ready now? Okay, good. Here we go.
Glory in the highest, all
creation sing. Glory in the highest, glory in the highest. Oh, come adore our King. Glory in the highest, glory in the highest. Oh, let all creation sing. Glory in the highest, glory in the highest. Oh, come adore our King. Glory in the highest, glory in the highest. Let all creation sing. Glory in the highest, glory in the highest.
Great job. I thought we had a runaway sheep at one point. Did y'all notice that sheep baying?
And he wanted to talk a little bit.
Yes,
too.
He did.
Well, I'll bet you can't guess what the student message is about. It may have something to do with Christmas.
Yes, I'm excited. Sure does. I'm so excited too. We're so glad you came to church today so we can focus on the real reason for the season. The students should be coming back in so they can be seated and hear the student message as well. Well, we are in Advent, and we've been focusing for the last four weekends on this season of preparation and expectation. We've done messages on hope, salvation, joy, peace, and today's special word is Christ. You know, in the Old Testament language of Hebrew, the name was Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah. And in the New Testament language of Greek, it is Christ. Messiah and Christ are one and the same. So today we'll be lighting our nativity, or I should say our Advent wreath, and we'll be lighting the white candle called the Christ candle. And that is so special. And we want you to get the big idea of what Christmas is all about. It's all about this. Love came down. Love came down from heaven to earth. Our scripture, we call it the gospel in a nutshell, from John 3:16 says, say it with me, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have life everlasting." Did you know that that's from the Gospel of John? But in the Epistle of John, in 1 John 4:16, there's a scripture that says, "God is love." Turn to somebody and say that. God is love. And those who live in love have God inside. And those who do not have love have not yet received God. I have a simple way to help you and your families and myself and our family remember that love came down at Christmas. It has to do with the candy cane. It's such a simple way to remember the truth of the gospel. So, what's in a candy cane? What's the story of the candy cane? Back in the 1670s, a man created a candy. He wanted to teach the children the truth of the gospel. There are special little symbols the shepherd staff is reminding us that they were the first ones to hear the great news from the angels. And if you turn it upside down, you've got the letter J that reminds us that God himself was the one who named Jesus. He told Mary and then he told Joseph to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, it started out as a white candy, white reflecting the same way the white candle is over here. The purity of God, his goodness, all good, without a spot or a blemish. And then with that white came some red. They wanted to add some red to remember the blood that was given by Jesus when he went to the cross. When he went to the cross, he came and fulfilled the purpose for which he was born. But it wasn't just put on like this on a candy cane. It was done in stripes. And the stripes are what help us remember that this was prophesied back in Isaiah 53:5 and in 1 Peter's book, that by his stripes, we will all be healed. We will be spiritually healed. When we confess our sins and take what he did on the cross for ourselves, we can then know that we are forgiven and we are washed white as snow. And then the candy, the flavor of the candy is so important because it's a sweet candy. And it reminds us that when we bring Christ into our life, he brings sweetness to us because he loves us all so much. So why do I have two candy canes? Did you notice when you put them together, you get the shape of a heart? And the heart is a symbol of love. So we want to all remember that this Christmas season, that hearts together, the first one representing what Christ did for us, the second, how we receive, and then what do we do with that message for the rest of our life? Share the good news, retell the Bible stories, and that's what I'm going to do for you right now. These love came down in the four scenes that you just saw. Scene number one was Mary, the Virgin Mary, and Joseph coming. It was because Mary loved God so much that God chose her to be the mother of the Christ child. It was because Joseph was a godly man, a righteous man, that he was selected to be the stepfather, the caregiver to the mother of the Christ, and the person who would help raise the Christ child. They journeyed 75 miles from Nazareth in the north to Bethlehem because a decree had been made by a foreign emperor. His name was Caesar Augustus, and he lived in Rome. But he made a decree because he wanted to figure out how much he could tax the people, that every man had to return to his hometown and get registered on a census. And so what happened? Little did Caesar Augustus know, he was part of God's plan of love coming down, because Joseph was in the line of David, born in that little city of Bethlehem that the children were just singing about, making come to pass love coming down. Scene two you saw was love coming down with the angels. The angels came to announce the shepherds. Shepherds were the lowliest, and yet they got the good news first. And that good news of great joy went like this. Today, in the city of David, is born the Christ. He is Christ the Lord. The Savior has come. And those shepherds were so filled with God's love and so filled with joy, they ran to see for themselves. And love came down that night in a stable cave where Mary gave birth to the Christ child. It was the first time that Joseph and Mary had ever heard from God together about God's plan. Mary had heard separately. Joseph had heard separately, but that night after the Christ child was born, they heard together that angels had announced to the shepherds the good news. They had a very important job to do together. Fast forward 2 years later, scene four comes along. Christ is now a two-year-old little boy. They're living in Bethlehem in a house. And that house is a place where they're living. It could have been with their family, or it could have been a home that they acquired. Joseph was off at work one day when love came down. This is the fourth scene where we remember the Magi had been traveling for months. They had seen a star when they were over in the east. And as they saw the direction of it, they thought it must be happening. Something spectacular must be happening over the land of God's people, the Hebrew people. So they headed in that direction to find the new king of the Jewish people, God's first family. And these Magi, when they came, brought gifts of love. Everyone knew you never had an audience with a king without presenting him gifts. They brought three kinds of gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then, being warmed in a dream, they went home another way and did not return to Jerusalem. Well, these four scenes help us know the history. But did you know that love has drawn many people to travel to the birthplace of Jesus? They've traveled 7,000 miles across the sea so that they could go to see the Church of the Nativity. It was built in 329 AD over the birthplace of Jesus. It's a peculiar church because it doesn't have a grand entrance, but a very low entry. No glass doors or red doors, but in order to go through, you must humble yourself, bow down, and enter in. And when you get inside, you will see a beautiful old church, for this is the oldest church in the world. Inside, you will be able to see the focal point, which is called the Grotto of the Nativity. You have to step down 9 stairs to get to a little area where that stable cave is. And people wait for hours on some trips to go in and see this special spot that is marked by a 14-point silver star engraved with "Mary the Virgin gave birth to the Christ child." Why 14 stars? Some people think it's because there were 14 generations marked in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 17, that said, "From the time of Father Abraham to the time of King David, there were 14 generations." Wonder if it's a coincidence that after that, there were 14 more generations until the Babylonian captivity. God's people had forgotten about him, and he allowed them to be captured and taken to Babylon. But then 14 generations more from captivity there were until the Christ child came. Some people say there are 14 points to remember the 14 stations of the cross, that Jesus was born to die, to give his life as the perfect sacrifice. Now there's incense burning and there's candles bringing light, and people come in and often their breath is taken away from this holy sight. Some just stop talking and they just look. They put their hands on their hearts. Others bow down and get inside this little covered area so that they can kiss the spot where Jesus was born. Love was born on Christmas. Star and angels gave the sign. In 1885, there was a woman poet named Christina Rossetti. She wrote a lot of poems, but this is one that has been remembered, maybe, and read and enjoyed the most. I have a short video that has the song with the words to her poem. Would you like to watch it? Here we go. Mm-hmm.
Will you pray with me? Father God, thank you so much that love came down at Christmas. Thank you that we can be your people and know the real reason for the season. Thank you that we can respond and we can tell the good news to others. Help us this season. Remember, it's all about your love living in us. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, boys and girls, following the service, out at the black table in the lobby, there will be candy canes. And I would like for each family to take home 2 candy canes. They're more regular size than these. Tape them together, put a ribbon on them, and hang them on your Christmas tree where you're going to be opening presents tonight or tomorrow, so that it will remind you that it's all about the love that came down at Christmas.
Amen. We want to take a moment now and invite you to stand and welcome someone near you in the name of Jesus on this Christmas Eve.
As you're making your way back to your chair, it's time for us to light the Advent candles. So you may be seated, and I'd like to welcome up to the stage the marriage enrichment class that will be lighting the candles. The marriage enrichment class is a Sunday school class that
studies how to have strong Christian marriages. They meet every Sunday at 10:45. So most of them attend church at 9 a.m. and then they go to their classroom. Their group has grown so large, they've moved over to room 207, and they'll be starting a new study called Love and Respect on January the 14th. They would love to welcome any married couples to come and be a part of their class.
This is Christmas Eve. We celebrate this season of expectation by lighting the candles of the Advent wreath. We relight the candle of hope, which reminds us that Jesus brings hope to our world.
We relight the candle of salvation, which reminds us that the saving grace of God comes to individuals through a personal relationship with Jesus.
We relight the candle of joy, which reminds us that knowing Jesus gives us a joy that is beyond description.
We relight the candle of peace, which reminds us that the Prince of Peace, Jesus, is the one who brings us inner peace.
And tonight, we celebrate the birth of our Savior. Tonight, we light the Christ candle. The white candle reflects the purity of light that comes through Jesus.
In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, the scriptures say, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." We light this candle,
the Christ candle, as a symbol of the light that has come into the world. We celebrate that light and declare as the body of Christ that we shall
let the light of Jesus shine through all that we do.
Thank you so much. Well, now we have a beautiful presentation by our own Pastor Mike Law. Oh, Holy Night.
Father God, as we're in this place tonight, we just stop and bow our head and we quiet our hearts before you. Father, it's easy to come into a crowded service and have so much on our minds. And it's the prayer of our hearts tonight as a pastoral team and as a church, that people would walk through this door and that they would find the peace and the love of Jesus Christ. That comfort and joy would not just be words, abstract words, but they would be real words. And we know that that's a process. So, Father, we open up our hearts to you and we declare, God, that as we celebrate a holy night, that, God, we would fall on our knees and that we would declare that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. God with us. Amen.
Oh, holy night. The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul fell. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Mike. Will you thank him once more and just appreciate? So what is Christmas all about? After 400 years of silence, all of a sudden God started talking in a big way. I mean, it had been silent for a very, very long time. And we call it Christmas, when God shows up in all of these powerful ways. We've been studying these during the season of Advent. And at the center of each one of these moments, there is a crisis of belief. Now, that's a particular term. It's not the same as a crisis of faith. A crisis of faith is when someone has a firm foundation of faith, but it's cracking and crumbling. That's different. A crisis of belief is that moment when we know what God wants us to do, and we have to decide what we're going to do in response to what God has shown us. A crisis of belief will have four elements. It will call you to something big, something bigger than you. It will require faith in God at each moment in the story. This is what's required. It will require some action, some obedience, and it will require an adjustment of your plans. For Zechariah, you remember, in the temple, he was just going about his business when angel Gabriel barged in and started talking and telling him some things were going to happen. You're going to have a baby. I'm an old man. And my wife, she's really old too. How is that going to happen? How's that going to work? Are you sure? Don't ask an angel. Are you sure? Because the angel said, well, you'll be sure when you can talk again. As of right now, you cannot speak. That's a crisis of belief. Okay, Zach, What are you going to do? Go home and try to explain this to the wife without any words. For Elizabeth, the crisis was when Zechariah came home, unable to talk, and saying somehow, writing down, I want us to try. Oh, you guys, you've always got something. An angel told you. So a baby's going to come and we're going to name him John. It's a crisis of belief. Are we going to believe these things? Are we going to act on them? For Mary, it came with a visit from that same angel, Gabriel. You're going to have a baby. And you're going to name him Jesus because he's the Son of the Most High God. And she said, well, now, how is that going to work? Because I'm not married and I've never been with a man. And I know how these things work. And he says, it's a God thing. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And you are favored in this because you are going to bear the Son of God. And nothing is impossible with God. Now, that's a crisis of belief. Because, Mary, what are you going to do now? And she says, as quick as she can respond, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. For Joseph, the crisis came when he learned that his bride-to-be was pregnant, and he knew it had nothing to do with him. It sounded like a lie, this story. It was unbelievable. So he reasoned, well, I'm just going to divorce her. I'll do that quietly so there won't be a big fuss. And then he lays down to sleep and the angel shows up again. I'm really glad for this angel that keeps coming around. And the angel says, don't do that. This is a God thing. Don't be afraid to marry her. He woke up from the dream and now he had to make a decision. Was he going to do what the angel had said? And so he did. He took her as his wife. And he had no union with her until after baby Jesus was born. For Mary and Joseph together, they had this decree. You're to go now to Bethlehem to be a part and counted as a part of the family of David. Are we to believe together what this angel has told each of us separately? Are we going to trust that everything will be okay? A crisis of belief. They made the journey, and the baby was born there. The shepherds got the biggest angel visit of all. We don't even know how many thousands and thousands of angels in the sky declaring that he was born. A Christ child was born in the city of David. And so the shepherds now had a crisis of belief. All of a sudden, they're gone. They said, did you see what I saw? And so they went. They made the decision to trust in something bigger than them. And they went to see this baby that had been born. And don't forget the wise men. I like to call them the wise guys. But they had seen something at that time. And they had some kind of knowledge that had been given to them. There's going to be a star, and the star is going to mark the birth of a king, the King of the Jews. And so they began a journey. I don't know if you were aware. I had to look it up. 1,400 miles they journeyed. That's why it took them a couple of years to get there. By the time they show up, it's a toddler that they're coming to visit. But they made that decision to trust in what had been entrusted to them. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at the story as it continues to be unveiled to us, about how the family has to flee to Egypt and then later returns to home in Nazareth. Crisis of belief. The biggest crisis of belief is a personal one. It's for you and me. We hear the story. We've heard it, many of us, hundreds of times in one way or another. In studies, we've looked at it. We hear the story of Jesus about peace on earth and goodwill toward men on whom his favor rests. We hear the story of a Savior, Christ, who is born to be Lord. But the question is, will you believe? Will you be saved? Because Scripture teaches, to those who believed in him, who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever what? believe in him would have everlasting life. Let's pray together. Father, we come together around a story that is so magnificent and yet sometimes hard to hear with new ears and new eyes and new hearts. May we, as we experience things outside, as we experience the story, may it take hold of us that we might believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's find our candles and let's fire them up and let's sing together as Mike leads us.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
Father, we thank you for the silent night so long ago in which you spoke out of silence and darkness and changed everything. May we rejoice in that good news. In Jesus' name, amen.